Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Events with Benefits, a podcast designed to help nonprofit organizations like yours raise more money and achieve greater success at your fundraising events. My name is Danny Hooper. I'm a professional fundraising auctioneer, and I'm joined here at the world headquarters of Winspire in Southern California by my co-hosts, the Vice President, the VP of Marketing at Winspire, Ian Loth.
Hey Danny, thanks again for coming down.
Yeah, and Renee Zhao, I guess we would call you are our visionary. You're kind of the one who came up with the idea for this podcast, which, by the way, has been gaining a lot of traction. We've been having a lot of fun providing this information to nonprofits, but Renee Zhao from Donation Match.
Glad to have you back, and I'm very grateful you're on this journey with me.
Yeah, I'm having fun, and I like it too. I live up in Canada, so anytime I get to come to Southern California is exciting, and what I especially like about today's show is that you brought along a bag of sticky rice chips. You guys have snack foods here in California that we do not see anywhere else in the world, I promise.
You're lucky it's not sticky kale or some sort of...
Hey, we've got a good guest on today's episode and really enjoyed this particular interview. How many times have you walked into a gala event or a fundraising auction event and you see tables lined up with all kinds of sports memorabilia, the signed football jerseys, hockey jerseys, helmets, pucks, footballs, and framed pictures? I've always wondered where that stuff comes from. And I know that it's, for the most part, consigned. That much I've been able to learn from my clients, but just kind of wondered how that all works.
Yeah, you know, what's really interesting about this, our guest, Justin Dennis, owns DSC Consulting, and he does primarily sports memorabilia, and he's been in entertainment memorabilia, but he's developed relationships over many, many years. He's been in the business since 1993 when he got started with his father, but it's similar to what we do here at Winspire in the fact that we consign the item to the nonprofit. You guys don't purchase it up front. You only purchase it after the event, and only if it sells and raises money. Whereas our items are up, a couple $1,000 for a big travel experience, he handles the kind of smaller price point items that you would see in a silent auction, and those are those signed memorabilia points. But you can still make a great return on those items, especially if you're looking to fill out your silent auction offering. And they're always popular, right? People like this type of item. There's a lot of value, perceived value that's associated with it, especially if you can match up the right items to your audience and get those interests really aligned there. So he had some great tips today. Talked a little bit about consignment.
And what I like the most about Justin and his company is that they actually lead with generosity first. And the fact that he is actually willing to donate items, 100% donations, in order to prove his value to nonprofits is something that I don't usually see in a lot of consignment companies. Some can't necessarily, but I think he has a great model in being able to do so when he can. And, his years of experience in this business really speak for themselves when you hear this interview.
All right. Well, let's learn a little bit more now about consignment. We're going to learn certainly that consignment is not a dirty word, and you can make some great money here. It's a real opportunity. And let's join up right now with Justin Dennis from DSC Consulting out of Austin, Texas. We've probably all been at events where you walk in and you see the silent auction tables lined up with all kinds of sports memorabilia. And as a fundraising auctioneer, this is something that I often see, and I've often wondered, where does all this stuff come from? But certainly seems to sell well at most events, and we are talking today to Justin Dennis, and Justin is the owner of a company called DSC Consulting. They're based out of Austin, Texas, and these people consign sports memorabilia to fundraising events. Justin, good to have you with us here today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. I really appreciate you having me.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about your background and your company, DSC Consulting, and how did you get into the business of providing consignment items to auctions?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we actually started way back in 1993, and me and my dad actually started the business together back when I was a junior in high school. And the reason we started it is my dad would be involved with a lot of golf tournaments and other charity events for different local organizations. And we always, the toughest thing was getting really cool auction items. It was real tough to get stuff donated. And sometimes you got cool stuff and a lot of times you had to wait till the last minute, and you didn't know what you were going to get. And in the past, my dad had been in the sports marketing industry, and so we had relationships with several different athletes and agents. And so we decided to kind of change our focus of our business from that to working exclusively with nonprofits and helping them to raise funds at their different events.
So you started to approach these athletes, I take it, and is it the athletes that actually don't? Now, when we talk sport memorabilia, maybe we should just define that for people that aren't too familiar with these items.
Oh, yeah. Basically, the way it works is we work directly with the representatives of different athletes, and we take part in what are called private autograph signings. And so what we do is we never buy any autographs on the secondary market, just because there's unfortunately such a big issue with items not being authentic and forgeries out there. So all of our products come from these private signings where we'll actually work directly with the representatives of the athlete. And so they'll actually sign it under our direct supervision. And that way it's guaranteed it's 100% authentic and, you know, comes with a certificate of authenticity and a photo of them signing and that whole deal, just as a protection, because the last thing, you know, a charity would want is for something to be at their event where someone's not certain of the authenticity of it.
I suppose you've seen some or heard of some nightmares out there.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the toughest things for me, probably, I love what I do, but probably my least favorite thing is when there'll be people, you know, customers who, you know, approach us and say, you know, we bought, a Rolling Stone signed guitar or whatever other item at an event and ask us to take a look at it. And, you know, when we look at it and show it to, you know, people we work with, we're experts, you know, when we have to tell them it doesn't look like it's authentic, that's like the worst thing, because people, you know, people love this stuff and it's a connection to their, you know, their favorite sports legend or band that they love. And so, yeah, it's tough. And there's, you know, there's good stuff out there as well. It's authentic, but I think you just have to be really careful. Whether it's at a charity event or, you know, wherever you're buying an item, I think it's important to educate consumers. And that's what we try to do, where even if someone's not necessarily going to purchase it from us, you know, we want them to be educated and to be able to, you know, be familiar with authenticity and how that works. And what we do is, rather than just having our certificate of authenticity, there are a few really well-known and well-respected companies that are what are called third-party authenticators, like Beckett and PSA and a couple others that are kind of the industry leaders in that, where they have handwriting experts and they examine it. So all of our products, we actually have examined by them, and it includes their certificate, and there's a matching hologram with matching serial numbers, just as an added protection. And so that's one thing we always, you know, suggest to people, where, you know, if you're going to buy something, whether it's from us or somewhere else, when it's got that third-party authentication, it's just really an added protection. It really increases the value, and, you know, you're just certain that it's, you know, 100% the real thing.
So, Justin, you said the words buying from us or purchasing from us. How does it work if I'm a nonprofit organization? We're looking at hosting an event, and we are looking for some of these items. Do people actually have to buy this more memorabilia off or from your company, or is it, in fact, consigned? And if it is consigned, I know that with many nonprofits out there, consignment is a dirty word and shouldn't be. So maybe you can just elaborate a little on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The way it works, when we work with nonprofits, there's absolutely no out-of-pocket cost or risk or overhead of any kind. And so what we do with the no-risk items is, prior to the event, we'll send the items to the charity. We also have packages where we send a display sign and they get to choose their favorite item. And there's absolutely no upfront cost. We ship the items to them. And each item has a wholesale price. And so the charity is aware going in exactly what that is. And then if anything that doesn't sell, they never pay anything for, it's returned, and we cover all the shipping. And then for the ones that do sell, regardless of how high the bidding goes, all they ever pay is that wholesale cost. So, you know, say the wholesale price is $50, even if it sells for $500, they just pay the $50, and in that case, like $450 would be donated.
Is that a real-world example, or practically speaking, what would your, I imagine you track this data, what would the typical or average markup be that nonprofits could expect out of the average kind of consignment item?
Sure. You know, it varies tremendously based on the event. It depends on the crowd they have. You know, there are certain events where it's a real, you know, high-end clientele with a lot of people spending a lot of money. There are other events where, you know, it's just a different demographic. So one thing with me, and this is something my dad kind of instilled in me back when he was sort of teaching the business to me, is to always under-promise and over-deliver. So if it's a charity we've never worked with in the past, I never like to make projections, you know, because it varies so much. You know, there are cases where, you know, there's an event we did recently where they had like a Babe Ruth custom frame print where the cost was like $45, and they ended up selling it for, I think, $450 or something like that. So that is a pretty realistic example. And there's others where charities make even more on an item, but it really just depends on the clientele and the specific event. And I think one of the reasons we're able to really generate really excellent results for the different groups we work with is that we completely tailor it for them. So basically, we have an inventory of like 700-800 different no-risk items and packages. And then what we do is we learn about each event, about the demographics and stuff like that. And we have a database of the past events. And then we tailor it for them based on their feedback, as well as which items have raised the most money at similar events. And so, for example, you know, an event, say, in Omaha, Nebraska, we'd have, you know, Cornhuskers items and stuff like that, where, you know, one in San Diego, we'd focus on, you know, San Diego Padres and Chargers legends. Obviously, no current Chargers now that they're L.A., but so we stay away from that. But, and then, you know, another thing that I think is really important that's kind of unique with our company is that a lot of companies have great items that are all the higher-end ones, you know, $400 or $500 items, $1,000 items, and we have a lot of ones like that, but we also have like hundreds of different items that are $50, $75, and at most events, the ones that aren't the $500 plate gala or real high-end, at a typical event, the moderately priced stuff raises a lot of money for groups because the bidding starts low and, you know, virtually all their guests, you know, can afford to have the opportunity to support them and to place bids. So that's kind of a big factor, too, is to have the, you know, assortment of price levels, including some of the moderately priced items that, you know, that are affordable for people.
Hey, Justin, this is Ian Loth here from Winspire.
Hi.
Hey, so, no, it's great hearing all this, especially since we, you know, our products are similar in the fact that they're consignment items. Granted, you know, we do much higher value travel experiences that are typically aimed at the live auction, but and we always, you know, recommend, you know, in the silent auction having kind of those lower valued items for the kind of lower price point as well that can still raise a lot of money. What are your thoughts on displaying the retail or quote unquote fair market value on an item on the bid sheet versus not displaying it at all? Do you think that puts a ceiling in a bidder's mind, or what are your thoughts on putting the value?
My feelings on it are that we always put it, you know, and we're, to me, like, I think a big thing kind of in, and you're probably aware of this as well, with nonprofits, transparency is a real big thing. And so whether it's with the value or whatever, Our whole deal is we want to put everything completely out there. And for the retail value, we're always, you know, real conservative and realistic. Like, what would the price be, you know, if someone went to a store and saw it? And so we do that. I think that when it comes to, you know, certain things, for example, some of the packages and experiences you guys do, it may be a little different because there's certain stuff that it's tough to put a value on. But in terms of our stuff, we stick with doing it just to be real. You know, we like to be real upfront about everything. And, you know, we've never had an issue in terms of it putting a ceiling on it. I think that when it's an item that people are really excited about, something they have a real connection with, I don't think they pay attention to that so much. I think they kind of get caught up in the excitement of it. And, like, for our stuff, like, it's not unusual for items to go way above the retail value. Like, we did an event recently where it was a live auction, And one of the things we do for veterans and military-related charities is we have these really cool, they're full-size, fully functional acoustic guitars that have artwork on it. The whole guitar is the American flag. And so we had one signed by Willie Nelson and one signed by James Taylor. And they both ended up going for, like, I think about 2.5 times the retail price.
Nice.
And I think when people have that connection, like when it's a veterans event and it's this flag guitar and it's signed by, you know, a legend like that, or, you know, an event in Ohio where it's a, you know, a Woody Hayes, who's a legendary Ohio coach, you know, hand-signed vintage document in a display, I think people really have this connection to it, and they get into the competition, you know, with other people. And also, of course, that's for a great cause. You know, it doesn't really seem to affect it too much.
That's totally fair. And that's good that you add that perspective on it. That's really, really good. As far as consignment goes in general, do you find any sort of pushback or skepticism out there as far as using consignment items versus getting all donated items?
It's interesting. You know, back when we started, which was like 93, and throughout the first several years, there was a lot more pushback than there is now. Early on, even say 9-10 years ago, there were, you know, a good amount of charities who we'd be in touch with, you know, basically would say, look, you know, your guys' stuff looks great, but, you know, our policy is we don't do consignment. And, you know, in those cases, we would always, you know, donate an item anyway and just, you know, let them know we're here, you know, if you need our help. But it's, for whatever reason, over the years, it seems like a higher percentage of groups have opened up to it. And there's groups we've kind of kept in touch with who in the past, you know, didn't do it, who, you know, were willing to try it. And what we do, for, you know, for the ones who are a little skeptical and the ones who have never done something like that before, my whole thing is, you know, what I tell them is, look, I'm not impartial. You know, obviously, I own the business and, you know, I know that, you know, we could do a great job for you, but you know, you've never done anything like this before. So I always give them a list of references so they could contact, you know, some of the other groups that we work with in their area and get some feedback. And I think that is kind of a big thing where it builds that trust and that, you know, that level of, you know, somewhat of a connection with them. And, you know, one thing that we've found is we, by completely tailoring it, you know, there are some groups that do one item, there's others that do 20, and, you know, the ones that are kind of a little skeptical but are curious about it, you know, we'll say, look, you know, try it with one item or two items and see how it goes. And the cool thing is we have a lot of, you know, regular customers who have been with us for years now who, you know, 5-6 years ago, you know, tried out the one item, and now it's grown to where they're doing 15-20 items. And, you know, the whole thing for me is, and this is something real early on that my dad really, you know, instilled into me. In fact, I remember I was talking with my mom the other day and kind of laughing. It was one of those things he would always say, is that the way to be successful is have a goal to, you know, make a little bit of profit, but work with the client for 20 years and have them recommend, you know, 3 people a year, you know, rather than it be a one-time thing and you make a lot of money on it that one time. And so that's kind of really one of the core values with us. So, you know, even if there's a group that isn't ready to do the consignment, you know, we'll still donate something and you give them whatever advice or suggestions they need. And, you know, and hopefully then in the future, you know, we're able to work with them on a bigger scale.
So, Justin, this is Renee. I think what impressed me about you when we first met and you joined Donation Match is that although we don't typically, and you know, allow consignment packages within our system, you actually had a really interesting proposition and value add that you are actually willing to donate items outright. And I feel like that proves that you were really more interested in building a relationship first and really enabling that trust to build up. And I think it really, you know, I've had great feedback about you through Donation Match
customers. I appreciate
that.
That's so great to hear.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that is really important to share that, you know, sometimes it just takes being willing to add value first, like you have. Now, I know you've shared with me in past conversations about the most popular items in your system. I think that may be helpful too with the way that you cater or customize what you suggest to specific types of events. Can you, you know, elaborate a little bit on that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we're known for, and I think, you know, like I had said earlier, I think this is the reason that we're able to really generate excellent results for groups, is everything is completely tailored. There's no two events that are exactly alike. Every one of them is unique. And I think, you know, one of the most fun parts of my job is being able to completely customize things. And so when I say that, in terms of customization, it's really every aspect of it. So, you know, the level of starting bid prices, the number of items, the type of items, and stuff like that. And so what we do is we'll, first step is we really want to get to know the representative of the charity as a person, get to know about their organization and their event. And then from there, we'll do some research, and we have a database that goes back several years where we're able to look up, you know, which items raise the most money. So, like, for example, if there's a charity, say, in San Diego, and it's a golf tournament with 100 golfers, and, you know, the price is $75, we'll look at similar events in size in an area, and then based on that, we'll recommend a bunch of different items and packages to them. And then from there, you know, we'll also rely on the feedback from the charity. You know, they may say, you know what, these are great, but we want more moderately priced items. Or, you know, we got some great stuff donated from the Padres, so we're good on baseball. You know, let's do more golf items and stuff like that. And then from there, we'll, you know, customize it for them. And then, you know, another thing that we do that I think is probably one of the most rewarding parts of my job is kind of what comes along with them getting the items. It's never just consignment or just them, you know, getting the items for their event and then, you know, and so forth. I also work with them, and my other partners work with them and advise them and give them suggestions and help, you know, promoting the event and promoting the auction before the event, and suggestions about how to display the items and all different stuff. And that's one of the coolest parts of it. I really enjoy, you know, teaching them how to do it and, you know, empowering them, you know, to be successful and kind of interacting with the different groups. And then that's really a fun part of it. I think, you know, obviously it takes more time to do that, but, you know, regardless of how our company grows, and like this year, we'll probably work with about 600 charities, and next year, you know, probably 700 or 750. But my thing is, when we're working with each group, when we're dealing with each client, that person and that charity is the most important client in the world, you know, whether we're going to make $50 or, you know, $10,000. And I think that's kind of the key to, you know, to being successful.
Well, obviously what you're doing is a great idea, and obviously it works well. You've been in the business for a long, long time, Justin, and obviously a huge demand. I've seen firsthand at so many of the events I've been involved in the popularity of autographed sports memorabilia, as I've seen the popularity of the travel experiences that Winspire and other consignment companies provide. I've just got kind of a curious question here. What you're doing is you're really providing something to the nonprofits that they, in most cases, are unable to go out and attain on their own, and that's a valuable autograph from a star athlete on a jersey or a ball or a helmet or whatever. How does it work for the athletes? So when they sit down and they do these signings, do they get a percentage of what this stuff sells for? How does that work?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the way it works is each athlete, through their agent or through their company, has a fee that they charge to sign autographs. Typically, it goes by the amount of time they spend or by the item. And so, basically, they get paid. Like, when a signing takes place, the athlete gets paid in advance, you know, before they sign anything. And so, it's never like a percentage thing or anything like that. They have their set amount that they get. And so, basically, that's just part of the cost, you know, that of, you know, involved with getting the items. And then what we do, our model, the way it works is that we're essentially a wholesale company. So basically we get the items, you know, signed directly from signings with the athletes and from, you know, working with other companies that have done signings with athletes as well. And so as a wholesaler, what we need to do to make a profit is basically sell it for the wholesale price. And so it's really a win-win. The charities are able to, significantly increase the funds that they raise and be able to feature items that are exciting to people. And for us, we get all these great venues to offer our items for sale. And it's funny, like a lot of, groups that we haven't worked with in the past will kind of, in a good-natured way, say, it seems too good to be true. Like, what's in it for you? And so that's how I always kind of explain it, that it's set up as a win-win. And so, but basically the athletes, though, that's something that we have to pay, before, typically, when they sign it or beforehand even, to acquire the different items.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, it was just kind of a selfish little question I had, just curiosity. I wondered how that worked with you.
Good question.
Yeah. Do you have any stories? You've shared a couple of examples with us, but what might a record price, has there ever been? Because I know you've just had autographs from the best of the best in the sports world and entertainment world. Is there anything that comes to mind that brought an outstanding record price at an event?
One of the coolest things that we did is there's a charity that we work with that it was a real high-end event, and it's one of the most fun groups that we work with because every year it's kind of a really cool challenge to try to outdo ourselves and get something that's going to be impressive to a group of people who have seen everything, been to the event every year, and every year we try to make it a little bit better. And this past year, we actually were able to get them a Babe Ruth hand-signed baseball. And that was kind of a really cool thing. That's something I'd always wanted to have. And even though I only had it for a little while, because obviously it was for the event, that was a really, really cool one. And then, there's a lot of other ones. It's hard to, try to kind of think of one in particular, but one type of item that consistently does really, really well is Seattle Seahawks items at events.
Yeah, go Hawks.
And I am a diehard Seahawks fan.
Well, two big Hawks
fans. Are you a Hawks fan?
I live up in Victoria, Canada, so that's our NFL team.
Oh, really?
And yeah. I'm from Seattle, Washington, so I'm a big Hawks fan.
I knew that I liked you. I knew it makes sense that you're a fellow Seahawks fan. And it's interesting. The funny thing is I've been a Seahawks fan since I was a kid. And we probably about a year before they won the Super Bowl, we started working with a really great company, and they do signings with all the Seahawks, Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman. And we established this relationship with them where we could feature their products. And it was astonishing. I never knew how great other Seahawks fans were because year after year, it breaks records. Like, we had one a little while back. It was what's called the Russell Wilson Bidder's Choice Package. And so the winner gets to pick the item of their choice, either a hand-signed full-size Seahawks helmet or a hand-signed authentic Seahawks jersey. And on that item, if it sells, the cost is like $405, and they ended up selling it for like $3,600.
Wow.
And the funny thing was, before the event, they were a little reluctant to do one of those packages where the item wasn't there, but then they called me afterwards and told me that, and that made me feel really good. And that happens all the time, in particular with the Seahawks items, because even when they don't win, they're just really diehard fans. And so, it's not unusual for, the Russell Wilson package or, Richard Sherman one and stuff like that, to raise a lot of money. And so that was a really cool one.
I was auctioning tickets at one of my auction events. I was selling a pair of tickets to a Seahawks game, and I told the audience, I said that the winner of the tickets would get their choice to have a shower with either team after the game, and that really helped build up the price. it's one interesting thing, Justin, and you see that you deal with this all the time, is that when we're talking about nonprofit organizations, when they're planning an event, it seems there's never one decision maker, that most of the time decisions are made by committee. And the reality is that one negative thinker on a committee can kind of poo-poo an otherwise good idea. And we highly recommend consignment items. in moderation. It's never a good idea, and I'm sure you would agree, to overload on the consignment
items. Yeah.
They know that here at Winspire, not to overload on the travel experiences. You know not to overload on the sport memorabilia. Nonetheless, it's just another hook in the water. It's another income stream, another opportunity to make some money. And these organizers never have a problem paying the caterer. They don't have a problem paying for the rental on the venue and all other expenses. But it seems they never want to pay for a professional fundraising auctioneer. Lots of them don't want to, and they're not even having to pay for the consignment packages. Just the very idea of consignment just doesn't ring, and I just don't get it. So I really appreciate you kind of sharing, you know, your insights as to how you deal with these kinds of objections from these committees.
Sure, that's a great point. That's something we run into a lot, and the thing that I have to say, that's something we run into all the time. One, the most effective way, by far, that we've been able to get past that has been being a part of Donation Match. I think that, you know, like Renee said before, we donate, like for each charity that we work with through Donation Match, we donate an item that has a value of, you know, some of them are like $50 items. Then we have a lot of items on there with $100 value. And there have been a lot of groups. It's funny, like there were two or three just in the past month or so, groups who in the past we had reached out to or they had contacted us, who ended up not working with us in years past because of that one person on the committee who didn't want to do it, where everyone else loved it. But I think being a part of Donation Match, where there's a level of trust, the fact that, you know, Donation Match trusts us and has a relationship, I think that made them feel more comfortable. And the fact that we're saying, look, this $100 item, that's 100% donated. That's, you know, yours. And that's been, like, really the most effective way to kind of overcome that. And it's been interesting because each of those groups ended up, you know, doing really well with the donated item, and they did real well with the consignment items. And they all said to me, you know, in the past, you know, nothing against you guys. You have a great reputation. We researched you. But we just, you know, there were a couple people who just weren't comfortable. But I think that's why the concept of Donation Match and what Renee does, I think, is phenomenal. Because as a result of that, these groups who in the past, you know, wouldn't have benefited from our no-risk items were able to raise a lot more money. And, you know, we were able to start a relationship with a new charity. And so that's been really, you know, by far the most effective way, you know, to kind of overcome that.
So, Justin, I just wanted to ask you, how do you go about coaching or counseling your clients as to how many consignment items they should consider? And I've seen some organizations that, for lack of a better word, get a little lazy and take on too many consignment items, and then you can run into a real challenge. But what's the magic formula? Is there one?
Yeah, you know, there's several factors that we talk about with them in terms of the number of items. Part of it is, you know, how many donated items do they have? You know, there are some groups that are real fortunate and have a lot of donated items, and there's others where, you know, maybe it's a new organization or for whatever reason they don't have as many. So that's definitely a factor. There's also, we look at the number of people attending the event. You know, obviously an event where, say, there's 300 people, you know, we recommend more items versus, you know, say 75 people or 100. And so we look at that. We also look at how the event's set up, the amount of space they have, and we kind of, you know, formulate it based on that. With everything, there's no set rule. It varies quite a bit, but with everything else being equal, the thing we always recommend is, like you said, you don't want too many. You don't want it to be overwhelming, but you want them to have like a nice selection. So typically what we recommend is that the number of items be equal to about 10% of the number of guests. So for example, if they're having like 100 guests, typically we'd recommend like 9 or 10 of no-risk items. That way it's not too big, it's not unmanageable, but you're able to have, you know, a few items from different price levels, you know, a few of different sports, a celebrity item. And it's interesting, you know, groups that we work with year in and year out, it's really easy to predict which items will raise the most money for them. But doing it the first time, I sometimes recommend maybe a few more just because you never know 100%. And, you know, the thing, you know, that I, you know, always suggest to groups, you know, provided that they don't have a lot of donated stuff and they have the space and so forth, is that regardless of whether you take, you know, 5 items or 10, it's completely risk-free. And I'd always rather, you know, us pay the cost for a few items to be sent back rather than have them miss out where they could have had a couple more items and we didn't do it. But, you know, that being said, it really comes down to whatever the charity is comfortable with. You know, there's groups, you know, like we talked about earlier, who they've never done something like this before. It's a brand new thing, and they're putting their trust in us and trying it out. And so, you know, many times they may want to try it out with, you know, 1 or 2 items. And, you know, we do that all the time, even though, you know, we're not going to probably make very much profit on it. You know, to me, like, we're investing in the long-term relationship with them. You know, and it's all about earning their trust. So ultimately, you know, we tailor it based on whatever they're comfortable with and, you know, just advise them as much as possible based on, you know, what's worked well for similar groups.
Yeah, one last question I had here, and that's fantastic,
sure.
Justin. What do you recommend, if anything, about promotion of the items? Do you see nonprofits promoting the items on Facebook or via email prior to the event? Have you seen some success with that, or what have you recommended in working with nonprofits?
I think it's incredibly effective to promote the items, to promote the event through social media like Facebook, as well as through email blasts and on their website. And I always stress to charities we work with, we provide them with like high quality images of the items and descriptions, and we always recommend to them to promote it that way. And in fact, you know, there's some groups that do that. Surprisingly, a lot of groups don't do that. And I always try to, you know, sort of suggest that to them. And in fact, one of the things we do, and it's something that's, you know, completely free of charge, is if it's a group that's never done something like that before, we'll kind of walk them through it, you know, provide them with a template of here's the best way to, you know, to promote it on Facebook and on Twitter, and we'll actually share it, you know, on our Facebook page as well. And typically what I recommend to them is you want to really build excitement. You want your guests who are your core supporters, if you put up some items they're really excited about, they're going to, a month before the event or a month late or 5-6 weeks before the event or whatever, if they are a big Laker fan and they see there's going to be this Magic Johnson package they got to have, they'll talk to other people about it. They'll make sure to save some money for it. And then also through word of mouth and through social media, hopefully that also attracts other guests who maybe wouldn't have come, but they're a huge, you know, music fan. There's a Steven Tyler guitar. And so hopefully, you know, a lot of times it does that as well. And basically what I recommend to them is to, you know, as you get closer to the event within a couple months, to kind of do like a teaser, you know, once a week or a couple times a week, highlighting a different item each time. You know, not only with our items, but with their donated items as well. And just to build excitement. And there have been groups who kind of were resistant to that, you know, a few years ago, who have really adapted it, and it seems like it's worked really well for them.
All right, excellent. Well, I'm going to ask a final question here, and I'm just going to paint a hypothetical scenario. You've got a big gala. Everybody in the room is a multimillionaire. Everybody in the room is either a sport or entertainment fan, and you have one consignment memorabilia piece to sell that night. What would it be? Whose signature, in your opinion, would be the most sought after in the world?
I think it would depend on a lot of different things. I think it would depend a lot on, you know, where the event was located would be a big thing. You know, whether it was, and also the type of event. You know, whether it was a gala in New York City or, you know, where, you know, whatever, you know, stuff like that. For one, for a room, they're all multimillionaires, right?
Yeah, everybody's got the ability to pay a lot. And I guess I'm asking, okay, in your opinion, what do you think would be the most sought-after autograph or the hottest autograph signature in the world today?
Today, I think that's a tough one because there's so many. I think for an event like that, you'd have to do something that's beyond being unique, something really like a one-of-a-kind thing. And I think it would probably be some sort of like vintage or historical type thing. You know, at a similar event to that, like we talked about before, like the Babe Ruth baseball, probably something along those lines. And it's tough to say. That's a tough question. I think for a high-end crowd like that, I'd say you can't go wrong with a Babe Ruth signed, authenticated baseball. Because with any crowd, in particular with a high-end crowd, the stuff that does the best, that raises the most money, are the icons. The people who, there's like a really a select few group of athletes who kind of transcend sports. Muhammad Ali, Babe Ruth, Michael Jordan, people like that, where even if someone's never watched a sports game in their life, they know them, and I think it would have to be someone like that. One thing, you know, it's not a sports item, but an item that always does really well are the hand-signed guitars. So maybe, depending on the crowd and knowing more about the demographic, you know, maybe a Rolling Stone signed guitar or something along those lines. But definitely it would have to be kind of a, you know, once-in-a-lifetime type item for sure.
All right. I have a true story that I want to share very quickly. I was doing an auction literally 2 weeks ago up in Canada and sold a Garth Brooks autographed guitar at a golf tournament, and a lady paid $9,000 for it.
That's amazing. It's not surprising, but it's incredible.
Yeah, it was. So you see some big money come out for these guitars, and I offered to autograph it as well. If the bidding went any higher, but it didn't go any higher. And I told him, I said, not just a Danny Hooper signature. Who wants that? Nobody wants that. But I said, I will autograph whoever your favorite country singer is or hockey player. If you can spell it, I'll sign it. Anyway, Justin, I tell you, it's been just a real pleasure having you with us on this episode of Events with Benefits. And, of course, we just like to provide as much information as we can to our listeners on the many, many different aspects of the fundraising space. And you've certainly enlightened us here today on how sports memorabilia as a consignment item works at these events. And as we get ready to wrap up right now, we'll just ask if... people want more information. How can they go about contacting you? And also, I wanted to ask you about our show notes at the end. Do you have any special offers that you can make for our listeners here today?
Yeah, absolutely. We, in fact, in terms of a special offer, the thing that, you know, any nonprofit that has an event coming up or an online auction, any type of fundraiser, you could look us up on Donation Match. And we have several different really unique, really cool items. They're all 100% donated. We've got a custom frame print of Babe Ruth's farewell speech, of Muhammad Ali, Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, as well as a few other ones. We've got a Tom Brady one from Super Bowl 51, and all of those are 100% donated, and their retail value is like $100. And basically, along with those, you will also receive five of the no-risk items and packages where, you know, if one of those doesn't sell, it's, you know, absolutely no cost. And either way, the items that I mentioned are completely donated. And so you could check us out on Donation Match. And you could also go to our website, which is www.noriskcharityauctions.com. And on there, you could learn more about our company and see, you know, different products, and all our contact info is on there. And we also have resources on there, white papers and things that people for charities can download and just, you know, get better educated in terms of how the process works and, you know, tips in terms of making an auction more successful, you know, from promoting the event all the way through, you know, after the event, that we provide at no cost. And yeah, we'd love to hear from any, you know, groups that have questions or would like additional information. We, you know, always love to hear from new organizations.
All right. Thank you very much, Justin Dennis, our special guest today on Events with Benefits. Justin, the owner of DSC Consulting out of Austin, Texas, enlightening us on consignment items and in particular sport memorabilia. So thanks very much for joining us, Justin.
Thanks so much. It was great chatting with you guys. I hope we can do it again sometime in the future.
Thanks for listening to the show this week. For show notes, special offers, or to listen to previous episodes, you can visit us at eventswithbenefits.com. Please also consider subscribing to our podcast on iTunes, and if you enjoyed the show, do us a favor and write us a review while you're there. If you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at hosts@eventswithbenefits.com. We'll see you next time.